The theme for our passage today in Matthew chapter 2 will be King of the Jews. King of the Jews. And here in this passage, two kings, one throne. Let's read the Word of God, all of chapter 2. Now, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has news? For we have come to worship him." When Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the tribes of the people together, where the Christ was. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem, for thus it is written by Bethlehem, are not for I am a ruler who will shepherd." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard, behold, the beast went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come, the child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not depart another way. Now when they had, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to determined from the wise men. This was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice, lamentation, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we once again thank you for your word, that you have not left us to grope about in the darkness, to understand what these things mean. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and ask now, Lord, that you would teach us through the reading and preaching of your word what we are to understand about this record of Jesus' birth, and about the king who sought to destroy him, and about your sovereign protection to bring about your plan of salvation through the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. We ask, Lord, that you would give us strength, physically to hear and spiritually to hear, that we might understand more of who Jesus Christ is and to worship Him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have seen and what we will see as we continue in this time, we see that the enemies of Jesus come from low and high places. As the ultimate enemy of Jesus, who occupies both low and high places, the lowest pit in hell, and the high place, the arch enemy of Jesus, seeking Christ's throne. Well, Jesus also had enemies who occupied earthly high places, judges, high priests, governors, and kings, such as King Herod. And King Herod, being one of those kings in high places, conspires against him. Jesus was most vulnerable as a baby, as an infant, as a young child. And Herod was most powerful. We shall see this earthly power is no match. Is protecting Jesus Christ. But it is not just earthly power that Jesus is up against here. It is also evil and demonic power. Because Herod is no different than any other human being in his sinful nature. He was one that walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works, and the sons of disobedience. Herod was being used as a tool for battle, a tool for Satan. The earthly stakes for this battle in Herod's mind was the same as it was for Satan. Herod did not want to see someone that Satan knew there was a bigger prize, and that. For if Jesus is able to come through His life and go to the cross and be raised from the dead, He will be seated at the right hand of God on His throne and be there forever. And so this is a battle between Jesus and His enemies for kingship. Who will be king? And who would be king of the Jews? Even more, who would the people bow down to and worship? So Matthew writes this gospel to the Jews and to us, and to demonstrate that Jesus is the King of the Jews, the born King of the Jews and the world. But throughout the course of His writings, He does not leave out the battles that come up and the difficulties whereby Jesus had to pass through. And this is one of them, a battle for kingship. And so in Matthew chapter 2, He shows us two kings of the Jews at war for one throne. And so we're going to look at this passage in that light. First, Herod, the tyrannical king of the Jews. And then secondly, Jesus, the born king of the Jews. So let's first look at Herod, the tyrannical king of the Jews. It was a common practice in Herod's day and throughout lands, throughout biblical record, that when a new king comes to the throne, what does he do but go out and destroy all those who might be in line for the throne and his enemies. And so this was a Herod is setting out to do, to make sure that there were no other people alive who could claim relatives, no relatives of a former king, and sometimes even their own relatives. Kings would take great effort to the throne. And we are told by Josephus that Herod went to great lengths to do that very same thing, to protect his place on the throne. King Herod, through multiple power grabs along the way, his father had risen to power in the land of Idumea, also known as Edom. His mother was of Arab descent, and so he was a mixed ethnic Jew. At the age of 25, 12 years later, over Palestine, which he ruled for 33 years. And so in his mind, he is king of the Jews. It's his throne. It's His power. It's His authority. And His lust for power caused Him to kill a whole line of Jewish rulers known as the Hasmoneans. One of His 10 wives was a of the Jewish Maccabean kings. He had her brother, her uncle, and her grandfather killed as he perceived them threats to his throne over Palestine. And he would eventually later even execute his wife. He later also executed his wife's mother and then the two sons that he had had with this wife. He had a lust for power, and he had a fear and perception that everyone wanted his power. And this is not unusual, again, for kings to act this way. Nor, for this is fallen nature on display in its full power over men. James 1:15 tells us that sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Why do I tell you all these things about Herod and his background and his rise to power? Because it gives us the background for how Herod and the Jews responded to the wise men who came asking, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" This question, while it was a question for information, it was also like an announcement. These wise men have come saying, "We want to know where this king is to be born because we have seen his star." It should have brought great joy to anyone in Jerusalem. But the announcement of this question, the announcement of these wise to see where this new king, this born king of the Jews was to be born, caused great trouble to Herod and all Jerusalem. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king heard and his statement that they saw his star in the east, and they have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled, and he had done all so many political games of intrigue to get where he had gotten to this point, not to let take his throne. He was troubled because of that. The Jews were troubled because they had seen what Herod had done to do that, what he had done to accomplish his position on the throne. They knew what was coming if Herod thought there was a threat to his throne. It was part of their national history. They were troubled because they knew that Herod had executed their people. Whoever may have been related to any past kings or rulers, they would be eliminated so that he could not rise up and challenge him. And so he was. It could be that whoever were his relatives would also be eliminated by Herod. This brought great trouble to all of Jerusalem. Now notice the tension that Matthew brings to us here that he wants us to see. When he makes the statement or records the question that the wise men ask when they say, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" That is to say, they were asking, "Where is the rightful heir to this throne?" A title that was a threat to Herod. They didn't come to see the current so-called King of the Jews, who gained the throne through sin. They came to see the one who was heir to the throne through lineage. For Jesus was a descendant of the king everyone knew about, King David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, "The book of the genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Herod, he must have known something about this expected king. As we see in verses 3 and 4, he calls the chief priests and the scribes of the people together and inquired of them, the word says here, not where the king is to be born, but where Christ is to be born. And so Herod is aware as something great and majestic and miraculous is about to happen, and it is all a threat to him. He even acknowledges this child is to be the Christ. He wants to know where he is going to be born. And what an act he puts on in front of the wife. He can play as if he wants to worship this Christ child just like the wise man. And notice he plays this act. That's what's expected of a Jew when Messiah comes. They are to be subject to him, to be worshiping him. And that's from the scribes and the priests. He puts his murderous plan into place and helps the wise men get the answer to their question at the same time. These wise men who had come from far away from Jerusalem. Here is this king, this tyrannical king, helping them and getting into their good graces so that they will help him as well. And so he gives them the location, plays the part of a genuine worshiper. One who wants to give the newborn king honor and glory, revealing himself to be a liar, to be a manifestation of who Satan is, the father of lies. And if we were to jump ahead to verse 16 in chapter 2, we see what his plan was. How troubled he was. Chapter 2, verse 16 tells us, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men." Herod did not kill all those children because he was angry at the wise men. He could have easily sent forth a party to track them down and to kill them if his anger was directed at them. He killed those children to kill Jesus. It was his only hope to protect his throne. For he had heard the prophecy, it had been revealed to him. So he had to kill enough children dating back and cover enough territory to try and make sure that no one escaped who might have been this one who was born King of the Jews. Herod was a murderous tyrant. Jesus told the unbelieving Pharisees in John 8:44 that they were of their father the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. And here we see King Herod simply following in his father's footsteps as a seed of the serpent. And these are the tyrannical acts of the Jews. Only doing what tyrannical kings do, ruling by. And this is a great contrast between the king of the Jews in the name of Herod and he who was born King of the Jews, Jesus. And now we shall look at him. Look at Jesus born, the born King of the Jews. Herod's inquisition of the priests and scribes tells us much of who this born king of the Jews is. The priests and the scribes give Herod more information than he had asked for. They tell him where he will be born in the town of Bethlehem in Judah. And this information comes from the prophet Micah in Micah chapter 5. And so we do well when we have a quote in the New Testament referring to the Old Testament. We do well to go back. What is being quoted here? Because oftentimes the New Testament writers are not trying to give you everything in their writing, but they are giving you a link. They are giving you a clue to where to go to find out the details of what they're talking about. So I'm going to turn back to Micah 5 and read this passage to us so that we get the full details of what this prophecy of the born king of Israel is all about. Micah chapter 5. We'll read through the first part of verse 5, 1 through 5. "Now, daughter of troops, he has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now, to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Here we learn that this born king, though he comes of Bethlehem, not known for much, will be the one to be ruler in Israel. And notice also here in Micah that he is described as God's goings forth, we're told in the latter part of verse 2, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ being God, the very Son of God, who has existed eternally. He was God, he was with God in the beginning. This also speaks to his eternal rule. God from the beginning to give his people an eternal kingdom on an eternal throne, as he promised in this born king was born in Bethlehem, as Luke 2 verse 4 calls it, the city of David. Joseph went there with Mary and with Jesus in her womb to be counted in the census. So the message from Micah to the Jews was, in verse 1, it's still a message of judgment. You shall be struck. But just like I raised my King David from Bethlehem, I am raising a ruler out of Bethlehem again, and he shall rule for me. There is hope, Israel. Though you will be judged, there is hope. And this hope is in the prophetic coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like David, Jesus would be a shepherd ruler, a shepherd king. He will shepherd God's people. He will not rule over them in tyranny, but in loving kindness and mercy, caring for his people, having compassion on them. Jesus came and said, I am the good shepherd, not the tyrannical king. Micah 5:4 tells us, he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of God. He shall stand. He shall feed his people. He shall shepherd his people in the majesty and name of the Lord his God. This speaks of Jesus continually ministering to his people. This speaks of Jesus not being defeated. He shall stand and his kingdom shall stand. And even though Satan harasses him now, it will stand and it will be fed and it will abide with Christ and in Christ. Balak sought to destroy Israel. Herod is seeking to destroy the born King Jesus Christ. But God, in his wisdom and in his might, redirected the wild to avoid the enemies of Jesus Christ. All the while, just as we sang in our previous psalm, protecting him from his enemies. This is God's work in this battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. No matter what Satan tries or who he uses, King Jesus continues to stand, continues to feed, rule his flock, and the church abides in its kingly shepherd. And while he is called King of the Jews in his birth and in his earthly ministry, we see here in Micah chapter 5, verse 4, that it is more than just being King of the Jews. He is a great king. Verse 4 tells us, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Jesus is not just King of the Jews. He is the King of all kings and the King over all the earth. Remember Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 23, where we read, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the age to come. And he put all gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The Magi came asking, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" But the prophecy says, "He shall be great to the ends of the earth. He shall be King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall stand. He shall rule. He shall shepherd. He shall feed. His kingdom will last forever. He'll rule in the majesty and name of the Lord, his God." So we might ask then, who won this battle for the kingship of the Jews? Herod went on to die a miserable death, suffering from all kinds of and internal, never to live again, and his throne was given to another. Jesus went on to live his life, to die on the cross, and to live again, being raised from the dead and placed upon his throne, and remains there today, ruling as a shepherd king over all his people. So we might ask the same question that the wise men asked, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" He is at the right hand of the Father, having accomplished all that was prophesied about him and all that the Father called him to do. But then there's another question we should ask. This king, this one born King of the Jews, not just where is his physical location, as we might ask, where is he ruling? But is he ruling in your life, in your heart today? And do not be fooled by the devil into thinking that you can have Jesus as your Savior, but not as your King. That is not how the Lord works his salvation. Jesus is not a dividable Lord and Savior or a dividable Savior King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords because of the salvation that he has provided. So yes, he was born King of the Jews. But is he the King of you? Are you submitting yourself to this King? Is he ruling in your heart and in your life? Of course, there are areas of every Christian's life where we are not submitting to King Jesus, this one who was born king. And we should not take these things lightly when we are confronted with them by God's Word or through the preaching of His Word or by the Holy Spirit showing us you are not submitting to King Jesus, of whom you are His subject, of whom you have confessed as your Lord and Savior. Let's not take this lightly, that Jesus is King. Not only King of the Jews, but King over all the earth. God has made him King. Herod tried to destroy him. The devil has tried to destroy him. But God has made him King. And just like Balaam said to Balak, "I can't undo what God has done." And neither could King Herod. He is King. And the Word tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. If you have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, it follows that He will rule in your heart. And so we are to consider ourselves subjects to this King, who is King over all the earth. Where is this King? This born King of the Jews? Is He the King of you as well? God calls you to submit yourself to this King, the King that He has provided for your salvation, who defeats His enemies. Herod was an enemy of Christ, and he was defeated. Because who is behind this King Herod but the devil himself, who is also defeated in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. So I exhort you today, examine your life. See where it is that you can ask, where is King Jesus in my life? And submit yourself to Him. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, how we thank You for giving to us Your Son to be our King. How we need, Lord, Him to rule in our hearts, in our lives. So we pray, Father, that You by Your Holy Spirit would show us where we are not submitting to King Jesus, that we would confess it and submit ourselves to Him, rejoicing in the forgiveness that this King gives and the pardon that He gives through His shed blood. Lord, and demonstrate how that man cannot thwart Your purposes. He cannot turn into cursing what You have said You will bless. And You have blessed the church with Your King Jesus. And we know, Lord, that that will not change. For it is an unshakable kingdom, ruled by an unshakable King. And we pray, Lord, that You would cause Him to rule in our hearts as well.